anointing on you. It really is. Praise God. Our Lord's sufficiently switched my message, so that's good. And you guys already know about tongues, so we'll just take that and put that right there. I talked on tongues last night. I'd done it in a while, and I'd experienced this tremendous anointing. I mean, just, anointing's always there, but it's sometimes, there's times it just seems like it just gets turned way up. It's very unexpected. And, but what the Holy Spirit does when you're doing something that He's leading you to do, and you start to do it, and then His anointing comes, but it's like these signs shall follow those that believe. You know, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll speak with new tongues. And like, you know, when you laid hands on the sick, it wasn't immediate, but he the signs follows the believers. Well, last night, what was interesting is I was talking about tongues and how it can be a tongue of a human, or it can be a tongue of an angel, and gave the significance of tongues and how it was the gift that jump started the church. It was the first, it was the only gift manifested in the upper room. And the results of that, and I went through the significance of it, and the Holy Spirit prays a perfect prayer through us, and how it's a worship too, worships through us. And but afterwards, when I was ministering individuals that came up, I ministered tongues and then and interpreted. And I've done that before. It wasn't anything new to me, but it was, each one was a different language. I don't know, you know, I knew it. I'm sure they knew it too, because it was each one was a different language, and it was like I didn't know where I was in Togo or where I, or what it was, the tongue of an angel or what it was. But I was kind of lost. I get sometimes lost in the spirit in that dimension, and all of a sudden, my son's sitting right there in the front row, because we went long, and I guess the person was keeping the kids left, and all of a sudden he's right in the front row, and then so I was asking people to come up and get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I thought, well, that's, there he is right there. So I got to lay hands on my son and pray for the baptism over his life at 9 years old. So, and then Doug was there. He's not here tonight, but he was there and had a word. And then it was really cool. And there was someone taking snapshots, and it was a great night. And then this lady comes up and gives me a card, a thank you card with $100 go, because I wanted to go out and take my wife out to dinner, and there it is, all of a sudden, boom, and it was wonderful. And she, you know, people will, as you know, they start pulling on you, you know, because they know that you'll pray for them or you'll care about them or whatever. And she called me up, and she had been racked with cancer, had several things that she had to go through, from bone problems and you name it. And anyway, she got my phone number from a pastor, and she calls me up, and she's got to go to the doctor on a Monday, and she goes, I want you to pray, and you tell me what God tells you. And I was like, you know, because she's really concerned. They found another spot or something on an X-ray, and I'm sitting there, and I prayed, and so she calls me. I says, what did the Lord show you? I go, I'm just going to tell you what was in my brain. I'm not going to say this is God. I'm not going to say this is the Lord, but all I got to tell you is that I just said it's not what they think it is. And so that she gets in there, and the first thing the guy said, look, it's not what we thought it was. And so anyway, but she came in there so encouraged prior to even getting to the doctor, in saying that you have to, people sometimes, even though you're not the Lord, okay, you're not the Lord, but your walk with God and your prayers and your ability to hear from Him is so important to people sometimes. And just trust it. Just trust it. It's a step. Some people are going through really dire stuff, and you get some kind of a thought in your mind. You're praying for them that sounds so incredibly not true, you know, or you're hesitant to say it because you don't want to hurt the person or give them false hope. You see, those are the things that God sees that in your spirit, that you think that. You know, the one time I saw the Lord in a dream. I was in Newberry, and I probably have shared this here. Was it Chuck Smith? Was that his name? Or Chuck somebody. Chuck and had a church out there in Newberry. They used to be at the Rock. Chuck and Kathy, yeah. It was before they were at the Rock. This is another place. They had a meeting. I went up there, but right after I had that dream, the Lord was, I saw him. It was weird because it was like in my setting, since I worked in a pool, I'm at a pool, you know, and there's these chain link fence around the pool, and he's there's a gate and two big lifeguards, two angels, you know what I'm saying? They're huge, and I'm just walking up and kind of looking in, and I know that the Lord's there. I can't see him, but I just know that he's there, and I'm kind of like this, and these guys are like, you know, they're big, and I'm just kind of looking, and they go, you can come on in this way, disciples can come in this way, and God was trying to teach me something that I never thought of myself that way, and he was trying to adjust my thinking, you know, and of the way I perceive myself, and so and I said, oh, okay, well, oh wow, I never thought that. I guess I can come in. So I come in and I walk over, and then there's a crowd around him, but then the crowd kind of like parts, and then he's just sitting there with his arms around these two people that are diseased, and he's looking at them and looking at me, looking at them and looking at me. He's not talking, but I know what he's saying. He says, I'm about to heal the nations. Now you go out and heal the nations. So kind of like what you were just witnessing, you know, that I was to go out. So immediately after that, these meetings occurred up there. And so there's a lot of words given out, a lot of words like normal. But there was one woman that came up and she had a hepatitis. I'm not sure what's the deadly ones. It's C, B, or A? C. She comes up and people here say, I have hepatitis C. She worked in a blood lab or whatever, and the test tube broke and cut her through her glove. And so she had it, and so she's saying, I have this, you know, terrible thing. And I go, well, you're going to go to the doctors, and they're not going to find it. And I'm like, as soon as it got out of my mouth, I'm like, what did you just say? What is wrong with you? I mean, this is going in my brain. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, I can't believe I've just said that. And I'm just like trying to shake it. And then so we prayed some more, and I'm closing the meeting out. What I didn't realize is this lady came up in a wheelchair, was rolled up right behind me. I didn't see her. And she's like yanking. I'm ready to close the meeting. She said, will you pray for me? And she's like, dush. And, you know, she obviously had a stroke. And I go, yeah, sure, I'll pray with you. And I'm praying for her. And all of a sudden, I get the power of God hit her, you know. And it's just, she's like, whoa. And she starts smiling ear to ear. And she gets out of the chair. And she's just going nuts. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's going to have a stroke. Please sit down. I mean, this is what's in my brain. And I don't know what happened after that. I just saw what I saw. And, you know, sometimes we have to just kind of go with it, you know, and not be so concerned, you know, what might happen. But, you know, just be available and don't, you know, because God's, the Holy Spirit's going to surprise you. And it doesn't matter, you know, how old you are either. You know, you've got, you get a young Holy Spirit or old, Holy Spirit's the same age. So it doesn't matter how old we are, how well you've been walked with the Lord. I was just reading, you know, about Stephen and how these miracles, signs and wonders were coming through him so strongly. So, but yeah, that was really encouraging. But, you know, Lord, I think that one of the things that I'm thinking about right now in my spirit about tonight is that I really think that the Lord is looking for his church to kind of march towards the enemy's camp. To not, you know, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. So to me, that speaks to me is that the church on the move. So you're on the move, and he's leading you to go where things are instead of, you know, it's kind of like a seek and destroy mission, I guess, which is a little bit different. And I'm starting to realize, well, God, it sounds so true because, you know, that's kind of how I go out or out in a gas station or whatever, and I'll see somebody or the Lord will lead me to give them a word, to do this or that. That's an advancement. That's you know, and Peter Van Niekerk, who comes, that's what he does every day. He likes to tell everybody he's Gabriel. He says, that's Peter. You know, that's what he does. He goes on the streets and will just go up to anybody and give them some money. And when you go over there, if you go to South Africa, bring some money because he's going to ask you for it, and he just gives it away. I come out of the hotel, hey, got some money? I go, yeah. So he just walks right up to the guy. Hey, come over here, and he gives us money, and he prays for the guy. That's one of his ministries, I guess. I don't know what he does when I'm not around, but I'm sure he finds some money. But I think that you know, marching towards the enemy's camp is important. Open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 7. Yeah, you're right. See, Terry? Reminds me I'm under orders. Thanks, Terry. So keep your fingers on 2 Kings 7 while I read this real quick. I should have this memorized now. But I read it out of different versions, so it's, sometimes it's hard to... Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to continue to manifest yourself here, whichever way you see fit. Open up our ears and eyes to be able to hear it is what you're saying, and to bring a discernment in our lives and how you're leading us and how you're directing us. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, let's go in verse 3. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die?" They're having a conversation, four of them, at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live. But if they kill us, we will but die." Sounds like a joke. Four leprous men sitting on a log. You know, I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, these guys, hey, we're going to die here, or we might as well die moving around. You know, I mean, but see, the thing about it is, this is God moving on their minds. And so they're stimulated by God. They don't even realize where this is coming from. I got to read that again. This is great stuff. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then there's famine is in the city, and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans," that was the enemy, "and if they spare us, we will live, and if they kill us, we will but die." They just didn't care. They had no cares. Now, what started this whole thing? Let's go up to verse 1. The prophet Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now, just know this. What was going on here is that they were surrounded by the Arameans. They had surrounded the city, and they were basically choking them out. You know, there wasn't any food. You know, it's war by attrition, and they're people are dying. I think they were eating donkeys' heads, and I think they were even eating kids. I mean, it was bad. Yeah, pretty terrible stuff. So it was really bad. And so the prophet Elijah stands up and he gives this prophecy, and you can imagine the people are dying and eating donkeys' heads and stuff like that. And he gives this word. And the royal officer on whose hand, verse 2, the king was leaning on, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And then he said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a scary thing to hear that from Elisha. We're not talking about, you know, your average prophet there. This guy was... You know, he was the real deal. And so he makes this prophecy. So he's in doubt. So as he releases this word, and that's the way it works, because sometimes, you know, in your own life or in your ministries, you're going to make these proclamations that are going to seem so bizarre and so opposite of what you actually see what's going around you. And it's very important to hear this, because you will be challenged in these arenas for sure. and saying things that, you know, like, you know, you're going to go to the doctor and they aren't going to find it anymore. I mean, that was just, to me, outrageous in my own mind, and yet it came out of my mouth. And I think it was just the Holy Spirit training me back in those days. And so you will find yourself saying things to people that, you know, only God can do. And it comes straight out of the throne room of God. And this is what Elisha does. And there are always going to be people that are going to doubt it. And there are consequences for not believing the word of God. It's amazing to me. You see, even before Jesus was born, and the one man that didn't believe what the angel had told him, he said, "You're not going to be able to talk." And couldn't talk for a long time. And so it's very important that, you know, that you carry that word of the Lord inside you. It carries consequences for people that don't believe. And believe me, you don't want to be on the end of that stick. But you might find people who are on the end of that stick. I have seen this happen in my own life around people who did not believe what God was saying. And when you're delivering a word of the Lord, it's a God. It's not you, it's God. So anyway, that's what put these lepers into operation. Look who God chose to use. He's like, his eyes search to and fro throughout the earth to find someone who's after him, and he picks these leprous guys who are dying, you know, and they just don't care where they die. You know, they have obviously have some kind of sense of humor. And so God says, "I'm going to use them." So all of a sudden, now what are they doing? They're marching towards the enemy's camp. And they're lepers marching towards the enemy's camp. So they arose, verse 5, they arose twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp, the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. So, the word of the Lord comes through the prophet. Now, the prophet doesn't say any details of what's going to happen, just the results of it. He doesn't get into the details of it, but he releases the word, okay? And then God carries out the details. But the important thing that we want to see here is these manifestations in the early rain, the latter rain, or whatever you want to call it, and you see in the scriptures how it's one point in terms where early and the latter rain are going to be poured out at once. A lot of people believe that a lot of these miracles, manifestations that we've seen all through the scriptures simultaneously, just gushing out of the church and the body of Christ. So you see this thing, and this God caused them to hear a sound. You know, the day of Pentecost, a sound. The sound was not just heard by those in the upper room; it was heard out in public. And so these sounds, these noises, these that come out of that realm are things that you and I are probably going to be experiencing in the next 5 years. It's because, you know, talk about the rapture. A lot of people talk about secret. There's nothing secret about the rapture, man. It's an event where the whole world hears the sound, the trumpet. And so just know that God can create sounds that come from the unseen realm into this realm. The sound that they heard convinced. These are warriors. These aren't people that are like, you know, just run away from a fight. These guys are seasoned warriors. And they were so scared and so convinced of what was about to come upon them by the sound that they left everything. I mean, just got on a horse and just split. And so here are these guys, verse 8. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered into one tent and ate and drank. And carried from their silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. They didn't know what they were doing. Oh, look, let's go hide it. That is hilarious. I'm sorry, it is to me, it's funny. Drank gold clothes, and they went and they hid them, and they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. And then they said to one another, well, we're not doing right. How they go from we're going to die to we're not doing right. I mean, they're dying. I mean, they're lepers. I would love to go back and see this. Would you like to see that on film? I would. That'd be a good film. So anyway, they hid them. They returned in another tent and carried them also and went and hid them. They said to one another, we're not doing right here. This is the day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. What more can happen to them? They've got leprosy and they're dying. What is going on with these guys? I'm amazed. I've read this 1,000 times. I've never seen it like this. This is a comedy. It really is. Jeez. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. This is the Holy Spirit working on them, obviously. So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, hey, we came to the king. I just can't picture these guys, four lepers, coming up. Hey, we came to the camp, to the Arameans, and they're not there anymore. They've all gone. And you can see the guy, they get like, why? How can anybody believe these guys? I have no idea. This is hilarious. So they came and called the gatekeeper city and said, told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of a man. Only the horses tied and the donkeys tied and the tents just as they were. Okay. The gatekeepers called and told it to the king's household. Now that's amazing in itself. I mean, these guys, they're dying. They know there's an army out there. They're probably starved and these guys are telling them this story. And I'm sure it's amusing to think that God is using these lepers, by the way, to communicate his word and his actions to these officials. And so anyway, I guess the gatekeeper, he might have been, I've got nothing to lose now, we're dying here anyway, we might as well see if these guys are telling the truth here. The gatekeepers called and told it to the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we're hungry, therefore they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, they will capture them alive and get into the city. One of his servants said, please, let some men take 5 of the horses which remain and are left in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be left in any case like all the multitude of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see. There's a lot of this stuff going on around here. You know, well, let's go over here. We're going to die. Now they're inside the city. So we might as well send them out because it's going to be just like them. They're going to die out there if they don't die in here. So everybody's just kind of basically don't care anymore. They just got to the place. They're just so desperate. They want to do anything. It's maybe these lepers somehow, some way are telling the truth. It's amazing how the same thing is going around in everybody's brains. So they took therefore 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent after them the army of the Arameans, saying, go and see. They went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king appointed the royal officer of whose hand he leaned on to have charge of the gate. Hey, go down there and you take care of the gate there, you know. So, oh man. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said who spoke. The king came down to him. It happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel will be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. So, this is in the scripture. And so therefore it instructs us and it tells us about a lot of things here. I think the biggest thing that, one of the things I do want to point out, as I said earlier, about marching towards the enemy's camp. And you can identify, I can identify with lepers in the sense that, you know, we're all sinners, but we're cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that really is righteousness imputed to us. And these leprous men who were, you know, diseased were used in a righteous act. Unknowingly, I might add. They weren't aware they were being maneuvered by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And like them, you and I, many times, are being maneuvered by God strategically into many people's lives. And I think sometimes we underestimate the ability of God to do that in our life. I think that a lot of times people feel that they need to obtain a certain level of holiness before they feel they can be used by the Lord. And that's not even something that's even achievable, because it can't be earned. It's a free gift. It doesn't mean that we don't go after personal holiness or anything like that, but it does indicate to me that that God will use people who are in humble settings. And so, you know, I don't consider myself an Einstein or anything like that, but I will say this, that with a greater one in me, he can do these things. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with having some expectations, that maybe sometimes it's almost even a gift and to be unaware that the Lord has used you, because it's obvious that Jesus does that, because he addresses people. He says that, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. You know, when I didn't have any clothes, you clothed me. And they said, well, when did we do that, Lord? He says, when you did it to the least of them, you did it unto me. So there were people who were completely unaware that they were actually doing his will in life. And there are a lot of people that are like that. And so I think that's a big message for us, that, you know, God is using us unknowingly many, many times. But I think that the church heading towards the enemy's camp, there's a sound that was coming that before they even got there, that there was a sound that it was obviously the Lord, it's the Lord's battle. And when it talks about the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, it's his battle, but he uses us. And so the word that came out of Elisha's mouth was prophetic in nature, but I want to point out something to you. It happened immediately. This wasn't something that took place in a period of years. This happened within a day. And there is a proverb in Ezekiel that the Israelites were complaining, saying, oh, the prophecies that he sees are for a long time off. And then the Lord corrects, said, no, this is the proverb, the day that I say it, it shall be done. And he corrects them and says, no longer will this proverb be heard in the nation of Israel. And so you're going to see these things happen. There may be things that are going to come out of your mouth in prayer or proclamations where people are in dire situations like this. You know, Elisha probably wasn't pressured. He probably, you know, he knew a lot about the unseen realm. He knew a lot about his calling. He knew a lot about God's provision. So he wasn't just saying this trying to please anybody. He was bringing the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is inside of you. It really is. And you're going to be positioned strategically around people who need to have this kind of a thing to take place. And it's not up to you or me to bring anything to pass. But it is up to us to deliver, be faithful to deliver that word. And sometimes, like, some words that we deliver are not always the nice words. But I know Patty, I think it was Patty last week, that had a word of someone that, was to not take a detour, I think was the word that she had. It was interesting because I'd shared with her that she was going to have words like that. And here, all of a sudden, within a week's time, all of a sudden she's doing it. Because sometimes there are people that are like have words of warning. I think that Milburn, I think God uses you like that quite a bit, actually, where you have to give a warning to someone, you know, or a word of hey, and it's love. It's out of compassion. It's motivated through obedience to the Lord, but it's also motivated out of love. And we were discussing something earlier about a lot of the churches, you know, being compassionate to people who are conflicted with homosexuality and things like that, and they've had their churches where they've gathered in people like that have the struggle with those issues, but they don't love them. It's not compassion to not tell them the truth, and so there's a fine line there, because truth is truth and truth is compassion, and you can't separate one from the other. A lot of people do that. Well, you know, I need to have compassion, you know, for this, you know, they don't look at it as an affliction. They just accept them, but that's not how the Holy Spirit works. And so it confuses a lot of people. And then they take the moral high ground and says, well, you just don't love them because, you know, you don't accept them, which is not the truth. We accept everybody. We love everybody, okay? But some sins are more visible before they pass on, and others are known later because, you know, not everything is revealed. I mean, some things like these lepers, obviously they had leprosy, but some people have internal leprosy and you never even know it. You know, so you can't really look at somebody that struggles with homosexuality or this or that as being worse than anything else. I mean, it's something that the Holy Spirit is trying to work on all of us to get complete control over our vessels, to buffet our body, to treat it roughly so that it comes under subjection of the power of God. And so we're all under that and we're all being disciplined in that arena. So Elisha, you know, went through all that, the school of the prophets or whatever. He was trained specifically by Elijah. And so he was very seasoned. And so when he said that, he knew that it was going to happen. And then when the royal officer said what he said, he said, yeah, you'll see it, but it's, you know, you're not going to eat of it. And of course, he didn't say he's going to die. He just said he wouldn't eat of it. And then I'm sure Elisha was like, wow, that's hard. You know, he said, he didn't say, you're going to see it, and then you're going to die. You're going to see this happen. But, you know, Elisha saw something in the spirit. Maybe he did see the details. We don't really know. But when you put yourself in position to be a messenger of the Lord, in the ministry, a minister of the Lord, you will have these experiences, and you can expect them to happen and to be ready for it. They just come up. And, you know, it's coming up more frequently in my life than it ever has before, and I'm gaining confidence with it because I realize there's people that really do need to hear from the Lord, and you have it inside of you. You have the answers. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You carry that in you, and it's not a thing to be ignored. It is a real thing, and expect to be used like that, because you'll recognize the situations and they just come up, and you know, things just, you know, they come to you. We had a person that worked in our candle company some years back, all of a sudden out of the blue, contacted Kara and I today, and you know, please, you know, pray for this or that. And another brother I asked to come and share in tonight, he had said that his family had been sick for like months and they just can't shake it. And, you know, and all of a sudden I'm just sitting there and the Lord just spoke to me and said, look, you know, I can see in the spirit, there's spirits of infirmity. It's attacking your family. And they were manipulated. It's like, I see a wave of that and they pull back. And then another thing comes in. And the Lord had shown me where his witchcraft involved. And so I said, we'll deal with that today. We'll get that done today. I mean, all of a sudden, and that quick in the thing in the spirit, because you know you're ready. You know, this, it wasn't a coincidence. You know, you reached out to him. He just happened to tell me that he played the guitar or whatever last week or whatever. And I said, well, you know, if you're here, whatever, you know, because you know Roger couldn't come tonight. And so, you know, these are the things that are happening to you and me all the time. And just be ready for it, and just have a confidence. I really feel Elisha just really, you can tell he's just so bold given that word. And he, you know, it's funny, this word's kind of funny because he didn't sit there and say the famine's going to be lifted tomorrow. He talks about what something's going to be sold for. He talks about the economy. You know, I mean, it's such a cool passage in the scripture that has comedy in it. To me, I've never seen it that way, but I know I do. And it's God moving in how he uses his manifestations and how he uses people that were involved in this. And some, you know, you could sit there and declare some kind of prophecy, come up here and share some kind of vision, and then the next day somebody in the community does X, Y, and Z, and you know, it comes to pass. And that's how it works. And so the word of the Lord is in you, and it's in me, and we can do these things. So it's a promise that the Lord had given, and he's watching over his promises. And you know, I know one of the things that I had to be careful about, because I think about this sometimes, is seeking the hand of God versus seeking the face of God. And I think it's really important that one of the things, when I think about Elisha and Elijah and a lot of these guys in the scriptures, they seem to always be seeking the face of God. You know, David, you know, when I seeking the face of God, seeking the hand of God, I'm not trying to put anybody down here. I'm talking to me at the same time. Sometimes we get before him, we're so consumed about our needs and what's going on in our life and how we need to do this or need that, or we have a trial in front of us. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to seek the hand of God, but to seek the face of God is different. It's relationship. It's recognizing that that's all you really need in life, is to seek his face and to know him. And out of that comes all of the stuff. But to seek the hand of God is different. And I think that in our country, a lot of messages are all about, it's some of it's self-development, but a lot of it's about you know, God being kind of like your you know, daddy in the sky, which he is, obviously, and you know, loves us and stuff, but you know, to get things from him all the time. And you know, by coming here, that you're mission-oriented. I consider you ministers, and I tell you, you've got a mission, and you're sent, and you are going to give an account for that. And so you need to seek the face of God to keep on your toes with the anointing that's in you, because that anointing is released through the reflected glory of God, and that's by your relationship. You can tell when somebody spends time with the Lord versus somebody that's just ministering because they're just good at it. You know, and you, when you're talking to somebody that's been in the presence of God, it's just different because they're reflecting that glory. You know, they're drinking out of his reflection and not their own reflection. And so when you seek the hand of God, what's the problem with that sometimes is that you're drinking out of your own reflection a lot. You know, your own life, your own needs, your own, and people get weighed down in their lives because they're so concerned about their own thing. And that's, the enemy likes to box people in like that, and he'll magnify the problems you know, in order for you to get centered on that. And sometimes when problems come up in your life, seek the wisdom of God, and God may say, you know, draw on this person or draw on that person. That's what I do. So the Lord says, okay, you know, I've got a problem here. You know, I want wisdom in this. You know, and you know, seek out other people to help. That's not necessarily seeking the hand of God. That's moving in the wisdom of God. But you know what I mean. You know, when you're, you know, I remember just like, oh God, I'm so alone. You know, I want a girlfriend, or I want this or that, and like, you know, and then that girlfriend leaves. Well, can I get another girlfriend? You know, and he's not probably listening to any of those things, because you know, the girlfriends were coming, but they were, it wasn't so much of a blessing back in the day. You know, looking back on, I wish I could have done everything a lot differently, you know, but there were some things I wouldn't change because I had to go through that to learn to get where I'm at right now, you know. But I was nothing. When you're younger and you're young in the Lord, sometimes you're just seeking the hand of God all the time. And we've really got to get to the place where we stop that stuff, and we get to seek his face, because you know, where do you want me to go? You know, what do you want me to do? And that's where I think a lot of these things occur. Like we read those lepers, that's where God starts to maneuver us unknowingly. You know, he doesn't always, to me, communicate to me Like, you know, I shared that one story about the lottery ticket. You know, I got an idea about going to buy a lottery ticket. But he could have just said, hey, there's somebody at this gas station I want you to go minister to and give them some money. You know, why he did that. That's like, you know, I have no idea. That's just what he did. I mean, I can't explain it, you know, but I learned something through it. You know, I learned it that it was more important that guy got money than me getting $1 billion that day. You know, I mean, you know, with God owning all the cattle on the hill, you know, what like, he, you know, it's like seeking the hand or you seeking the face. And, you know, so just be on your guard about that. Just think about it just a little bit, you know, and you don't have to earn this thing. You've already got it. You're good enough. You know, people are just lining up waiting to hear the word of the Lord come through you, you know, to touch their lives. And, you know, that was a powerful, powerful move of the Holy Spirit, you know. So I just want to encourage you. Well, let's all stand up. We're going to go home early tonight. I do want to pray with you before you go. Once you come on up here, and we're going to gather around you, and we're going to just ask the Lord just to move on your body so you don't have to come in here with oxygen or anything. And or I tell you, we can come to you too, but well, okay, come over here. And so we're just kind of get in the center, and then everybody can kind of just get around my sister here. Come on out over here. Right there, that's the spot. Yeah, right there. And you can turn around and sit down in your seat. Yeah, I want you to sit, and that's an anointed seat, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. All right. All right, and everybody just lay hands. Everybody kind of gather around. And then I'm going to sit back, I'm going to listen to everybody pray, and I'm just going to stay out of it. I'm just going to agree with you, and you guys pray one by one.